You ready?
Okay. From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, the podcast where we take your questions about our topic and your comments, and we talk about them in a way as, you guessed it, jarring as possible. I'm your host, Beth Hicks, and
Scott Austin
is joining me today here in Brooklyn, New York, in my apartment, where we hear some church bells. I don't know if they're being picked up by the microphone, but
I hope they are.
Happy Sunday morning, everyone, or
so
Wednesday afternoon, or whenever you're listening to our podcast.
So, Beth, I just have to say that the most important part of 2014 is acknowledging how
you got a sex change.
How much I treasure your friendship, Beth. You're a truly amazing friend.
Oh, Scott. I only try to hold myself to a standard as high as the one you've set.
Oh, all right, now we're switching.
Okay. Hi, I'm Scott Austin.
I'm Beth Hicks, and welcome to the first Jarring Segue podcast of 2014. Woo! The warmth of your love's like the warmth from the sun. And this will be our year to the long time to come. Don't let go of my hand now, the darkness has gone. This will be our year. New year, new you. Isn't that what the tagline is? It's new year, but same old me. I am me, Beth, and that is Scott He. And
yeah,
we are not joined by a third. We are winging it with two people.
Dos podcasts.
Exactly. And because it is the new year, cliche as it is, I still think it's important to talk about, that's right, resolutions, why we make them, why we continue to make them, even though they generally tend to fail or we tend to break them, and also what it means, what the new year means for people and all that kind of stuff. So let's start. I'm going to start by talking about my New Year's Eve shenanigans because they're brief, but they're crazy. So, exactly. Old Lang Syne. I love that both of my roommates are like, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here.
Talk over me. I just wanted to underscore.
Well, but, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Go, fine. So, went out on New Year's Eve with my platonic soulmate, Beth, and we met up with...
Your PSM?
My PSM. I'm with PSM, Beth.
If you're going to make that a thing, you need to keep saying
it. Yeah, my PSM. She's my PSM.
I forget what we decided PSM stood for in the last episode.
Peruvian, Pavlovian, I don't know, it's something. So, we went out to a really wonderful bar in Alphabet City called The Library. Really, really great place if you're ever in New York City and you're looking for a great bar. Library. In Alphabet City, there's a ton of libraries, but that's specifically. And had two fabulous bartenders, Kristen, shout out to Kristen, and who I kind of wanted to make out with, and Meredith, who's also beautiful. And we had a really fun time, had a great time. Everybody was being really nice. And then we walked out the door. We were ready to go home. We were going to get dollar slices of pizza and then go home. And there was a guy unconscious on the sidewalk because somebody had come up. I'm still not sure of how it happened, whether it was that he got in a fight or that someone just came up and punched him because they were stupid and drunk. And he hit his head. He fell. You know, he was drunk, hit his head on the sidewalk, and he was actually bleeding from his head, not profusely. And his wife was in hysterics. I mean, she was just sobbing and crying and freaking. I thought he was dying, which he was not. There were two people there who were being very helpful, and my PSM Beth was so sweet. She took off her jacket to put over him because he was cold and wanted to keep him from going into shock. But the most ridiculous part of it was that he did wake up, and he was talking, and he knew who he was, and, you know, he seemed okay, and he reached into his mouth and went, hey, and pulled out a tooth. Because it's New Year's Eve in New York, and that's what you do. You pull out a fucking tooth, because why not? New York City, why not? First time I've ever gone out in you, New York, and you're like, hey, we're going to have a guy pull out his tooth in front of you. Eat it. And I didn't eat
his tooth. Eat his tooth?
No, I didn't eat his tooth. But
you shouldn't eat teeth. That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. And then we went and got dollar slices of pizza. And
well, I can see being hungry after...
We were starving.
After all that.
Of course, we had to deal with the puke on the subway. You know, there was a guy...
Puking on the subway. I mean, I'd love to shame people for that, but as I admitted last year, I've done it.
Yeah.
Not on New Year's, though. Not on New Year's. I stayed in my neighborhood. Yeah. I went to two different parties, both in my, within like four blocks of my apartment. Mm-hmm. So it was very good. I'm glad I did not have to deal with public transit or public people. although I do love your idea of sneaking a flask into a library after hours. Uh-huh. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's what I'll be doing next time. It's
a great idea.
Oh my gosh. New York Public Library, end of 2014, beginning of 2015. I'm coming for you.
The big one with the lions in Bryant Park?
Yes.
We're going to go there. Beautiful. We're going to do
so
it.
So beautiful.
I could stay in my neighborhood and go to that gorgeous one, that Grand Army in Brooklyn.
So pretty.
It is a nice library. I love that that's my local library. Mm-hmm. The big old golden...
It's beautiful.
Columns.
It is.
Brooke Ann Haid has sent us on Twitter in response to hashtag resolutions.
Hi, Brooke.
This year, I will grow my hair out, learn an instrument, and get a 3.0 and early admit. I won't waste time, and I won't fall in love.
Okay, Brooke, I love that you're going to grow your hair out. That's a good resolution because it's just a body thing. It's like your hair's going to grow.
Yep.
So you just have to decide not to cut it. So that's a good resolution.
Learn an instrument.
It's a
kazoo?
Little tougher.
Kazoo, maybe?
Sure. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, or the recorder.
I fucking hate the recorder.
Yeah, but you know.
I taught at a middle and high school last year, and the fifth and seventh graders were doing recorder karate, which is this program where they earn little tassels for their recorders and different songs. If I had to hear Hot Cross Buns on a goddamn recorder one more time. Oh my god, I couldn't take it. I wanted to kill myself. I was so happy when the drumming unit ended, which was all about rhythms, and then rhythms and notes in the recorder unit. I wanted, if Kendra Chapman wasn't so delightful, I would have killed someone.
Exactly. But, so yeah, Brooke, those are good. I mean,
get a 3.0. I think maybe Brooke should shoot a little higher.
No, but here's,
maybe
like,
she's.
But I like the fact that she says, you know, B average is a good average. You know, there's a 3.0 is nice. A B average, if she gets higher, great. But she hasn't set it so high that if it doesn't happen, that she's going to be disappointed or feel like she's failed. So I feel like there's something good about setting. It's like people who are like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year.
I was also, and I've been blessed to teach many students like me because I must have been annoying. Sorry, all my other teachers. Because I was that kid who's like, 97? Where are those three points?
Ah! I want 100 or I want nothing. But you took the 97 because you were not ridiculous. Because you're not stupid.
It's true.
But,
it's true.
And then I have to ask, I'm going to skip ahead to the last one. The resolving not to fall in love, I got to tell you, that one's a little harder to resolve. That one kind of just sneaks the hell up on you and kicks you in the face. It's... Love.
Hopefully it's not with a soccer player, because those shoes hurt. Or an ice skater.
Oh, God.
A hockey player? Damn. Ooh, he's going to have some scars kicking in the face.
Yeah, I got to tell you, love tends to kick you in the face, and it doesn't much like resolutions. It doesn't care. So, while I applaud, I mean, unless you're going to just stay in 24/7, love might sneak up on you. Like
maybe
Bonnie Wright said, that's just love sneaking up on you.
She's becoming a nun. Has to worry less about vanity and a cute haircut.
She could fall in love with another nun. She could fall in love with a priest. She could fall in love with a parishioner. See, I am just 2014 is the year that love literally will not be stopped.
Love will not be stopped in 2014. All right. To give you some other resolutions from our listeners.
Yeah.
My good friend Jen Petey, who has agreed to come on and podcast with us at some point in the near future.
Jen.
Said no ATM fees.
Smart.
And no snooze button.
Jen, I applaud both of those. No ATM fees. ATM fees are the worst. You're literally just giving your money away.
It's true.
It's highway robbery. It's usury. And I hate it. And I'm so mad that banks are, not only is the institution that you're at allowed to charge you, but then your bank charges you as well.
I know, it's...
So you $5-6 just to get money that is yours through an electronic transfer. I can't talk about it. It'll make me angry. So, Jen, I'm with you.
I also tend to go to Chase when I can, but our neighborhood is our neighborhoods, we mm-hmm. live in different neighborhoods, mm-hmm. are so cash only. It's ridiculous.
They really are. And so what I've taken to doing is we have a Walgreens mm-hmm. around the corner, and I'll go and buy a dollar pack of gum and get the $20, $30 cash back.
Yeah, that's much smarter.
And it's like, yes, I'm still spending a little bit of money, but I'm getting something for it. That's, you know, it's not the end of the world.
I had a headache with my ATM number, but a credit card number. No, I think my ATM number, too, just getting stolen. And so I don't use it on bootleg ATM machines and convenience stores anyway. Mm-hmm. So I kind of made that resolution in the middle of the year last year. Because it was like, oh, well, burn me once. Yeah. Shame on me.
Yeah, a lot of them, they can have those little reader strips that are in them. And,
yeah.
And, you know, major institutions, I hope, check their ATMs much, much more frequently. So, yeah. But, and the no snooze one, I got to say, I think they say that, like, the snooze button is one of those things that's, like, the worst thing to ever happen to sleep ever, because it's, once you've woken up and then you go back to sleep for 8 minutes, 9 minutes, little jaunts of time,
yeah.
it's terrible sleep. It's really just not, it's shitty.
You know, I'm a little proud of myself. On Friday, we had a snow day.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks, New York City, new commissioner.
Thanks, God.
It's the woman's second day on the job, and she canceled mm-hmm. school. But I like that I had a snow day for many reasons. But I was up. By the time I checked my phone to see if I had to go to work, I was already awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could have rolled over, but my apartment gets very warm. I know I shouldn't be complaining on, like, a below freezing day that my apartment's too hot, but my window is open. Come on, people. We're just throwing money away.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and I went to the laundromat, and I was doing my laundry at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and the snow up past my ankle that I had to walk through to get there. The guy was like, man, you're hardcore. And I was just like, no, I'm from Syracuse.
This is nothing.
I can handle this. Plus, I wasn't driving in it. And
no.
I walked across the street to a
laundromat. Right, and I know where your laundromat is, and it's not far from your place. And upstate New York is a different animal. Like, upstate New York is much more similar to, you know, the Midwest in terms of the amount of snow and ice it gets. So when people talk about New York, I'm like, New York City?
Syracuse often wins the Golden Snowball
right.
Award
mm-hmm.
with Rochester and Buffalo
mm-hmm.
for most snow.
Exactly.
We
like,
just get that lake effect. It just hits us.
Well, that's the thing. It's like everybody forgets that, you know, you don't have to be, like, the Midwest, yes, gets a lot, but go up to certain parts of New England, go to the upstate New York, stuff like that. Even parts of Pennsylvania, like if you go up to, like, Erie and York,
uh-huh.
like way, way up there. I mean, they get slammed all the time, too. We're actually
yeah.
really, I don't, this is, we got snow. We got, like, a foot of snow here, and that's it.
The issue, I think, was that it just hit at the right time.
Yes. No. It was plenty.
It was the golden formula for snow days.
Yeah, there was plenty, and they needed to cancel school and all sorts of other things.
True.
And
that's true.
I stayed home from work, too, and worked from home, but it was ridiculous.
Most of the people that we contacted about resolutions or got back to us about resolutions said that they hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, my friend Katie said that she hates resolutions, but she feels obligated to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just kind of going along with New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you felt, why do we feel obligated to go out that one night of the year?
Yeah, I have a... You know, my thing with New Year's Eve, I ended up having a really good time. I was in such a bad mood, and I was taking it out on my poor BSM and my brother, because he's my other roommate, and who you've all met on the podcast, our guests on our previous podcast, and I was being such an asshole.
Whore. Bitch. Cunt.
Pick one. I was
slut
being all
face.
Of them. I wasn't being a slut face, but I was,
that's good because one of them's your brother.
But no, I was just being a total asshole, and I kind of got over myself and was like, I'm really sorry, I've been an asshole. Let's go out, and we did. And I actually had a really, I'm really glad I went out because I had a really nice time. I actually had a really great time with my friends and in the bar. But for me, December 31st is no different than any other night.
Yeah.
And it's, I understand why people want to celebrate. I totally get it. I think it's great. And people should if they want to. But for me, it feels very, very arbitrary And the other thing, too, is we celebrate the new year in the middle of, well, not middle of, but in the fucking winter. Like, it's cold and it's dark and it's like, great. Why don't we celebrate at the beginning of spring? Like, let's celebrate, like, March 21st.
I can't wait to have a solstice party with you.
Yes. Yes, bring it on. Come one, come all. Let's have a fucking solstice party. It's going to be beautiful. Let's celebrate rebirth and fertility and
paganism,
and let's finger painting naked. And I thought you were going to say something after finger. Thank you for saying painting. So let's dance around naked.
Finger foods, finger sandwiches.
Exactly.
Fingering on your violin.
Well done, Scott. Let's, yes.
Finger puppets. Finger puppets?
Finger puppet shows. That's exactly what I was writing.
Finger puppet show.
About the solstice.
About the solstice. It's going to be
about the solstice?
Yeah.
It's very spicy. Mm-hmm. Finger puppet show.
Shush.
So they also, they hated them, which they feel obligated.
And Katie said hers, she just did the, you know, lose weight, drink less, spend less money.
But, and that's the reason I was saying before we started recording, that the thing about resolutions is they're so often about the punitive, their mm-hmm. punishment, their, I want my body to be better, I want my finances to be better, I want whatever, and it's never, you know, and which isn't to say you can't do things about money, like saying things like, I want to save up, you know, $2,000.
So I can buy myself a Shetland pony.
A Shetland pony?
I don't know where I'll keep it here in Brooklyn, but so, I would like one.
They're small enough you could probably keep it in this apartment. So it's got we could keep it overnight.
A little
closet.
Pony run? A little pony run.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's why I think, and this, what is the, do you know the statistic about, it's something like 80% of all resolutions have been broken
by now.
It's like by now, you know, somebody's eaten a, they weren't going to drink and they've already had a drink. Or they go to the gym every day.
I love the drink less on, like, saying that while toasting with champagne, and like, you're probably already drunk by midnight.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I just love the irony of drink less.
Yeah.
And diet, like, coming off the holidays. I mean, I know when I was up for Christmas up in Syracuse, I was eating anything in sight. And
mm-hmm.
Any plans that I made were like, oh, let's go to lunch. Oh, let's go to, it's like, well, okay, let's go jogging in the snow. I don't know why I would do that, but.
Well, I think for me, too, it's the fact that I try to, when I'm starting to do things that I feel like are better for me, like I want to up my yoga practice this year, and I want to, you know, eat less sugar because sugar makes me feel like a crazy person.
No, Beth. The fact that you're a crazy person is probably what makes you feel like a crazy person.
Thank you. Anyway, I try to do it on non-special days. It's January 7th. It's March 15th. Like, I try to...
Mount March?
March 15th. Wait, the Ides?
Mount March.
I like that I said March 15th, which is the Ides of March, was actually a very significant day. Anyway.
I will not get stabbed this
year. I will not be betrayed by people I thought were my friends.
I'm going to betray you on March 15th.
I know you are. You Brutus!
But now that I've declared it, I can betray you by not doing it. Because I've made
you're
a promise.
Double Brutus.
Double Brutus.
Double Brutus. Brutus squared. So it's just one of those things where that's why I hate resolutions, because they're so often about people being not liking who they are and trying to change it.
My friend Matilda doesn't make resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
She each year makes a declaration that she thinks gives the year a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in 2013, she wanted to share more of herself.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I know one thing she did was she took up fiddling, because she played classical violin in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she busted out her violin and took up fiddling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, a really
that's
interesting
lovely.
Way.
Lovely.
But she didn't, like, get to it until, you know, she didn't put it's like a timeline on it. I would like to, myself, I would like to share more stories. I want to get more into storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go and put my name in at the Moth and give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, and I've been doing that. That's
you
something I have been working on.
You took the storytelling class, so yeah.
I just planned an event that was based on storytelling around the Pan Am 103 Remembrance, the 25th anniversary.
That's so amazing.
So I like Matilda's outlook. So in 2014, she hasn't made her declaration yet, which I like, but she said, it's the Chinese New Year is going to bring us the year of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps giddy up. Giddy up.
Which is wonderful, because it could be about, like, just you know, pushing ahead on things.
She would buy her Shetland pony.
Actually, yes, exactly. Matilda, I hope you buy a Shetland...
I can't say it!
Shetland pony. Shetland pony. Don't say shit. Shetland.
A shitting pony.
A shitting Shetland pony. Dear Lord.
So, Matilda lives in the East Village, though, and I've seen her apartment. There's not enough turnaround room for a Shetland pony in the East Village.
Yeah.
She's gonna need to...
Yeah.
Move and buy a Shetland pony to giddy up on.
That's a really lovely idea because it's
buying
not...
Buying ponies?
Yes. Yes. Buying shitting Shetland ponies. It's a lovely idea to say. It's not about punishing yourself. It's not about setting a goal that's so specific that if you don't do it to the T that you failed. It's the, like you said, you want to share more stories. And that can mean, I mean, you share stories on this podcast just by podcasting, you're sharing stories. And you did the class, The Magnet, and you're going to go to The Moth. And, you know, you could write stories and submit them places. You know, like there's so many ways you can do it. Even just like talking to people in your life and sharing stories of things that have happened. It's all wonderful.
I've also, and I think I started this a little before New Year's, but I've tried to not wear my headphones as much in public.
Yeah.
Just kind of be more aware of what's around me, reading more on the subway instead of listening to music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is
partially because I also just got sick of a lot of the music I have and I need new music. But also I like the result of this. It's kind of like an accidental.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like I'm going to steal that, Matilda. I think that's really lovely, and I will credit you, I promise. But I think for me, 2014, I'd like to be the year that I'm kinder to my body, and because people always make the resolutions of losing weight, which is so specific, and sometimes being kinder to your body doesn't result in losing weight. You could exercise and not lose a pound, but feel great, or you could start eating things that make you feel good, and again, not losing the weight or whatever, but just feel better. You know, I have problems with anxiety, and when I eat a certain way, like the highly processed food and lots of sugar and whatever, like it ramps up my anxiety, and it's unkind to myself, and I know that I do it. So like, if this is my year that I'm going to try to be really kind to my body, especially as I'm getting older. You know, I turned 36 this year, and I still feel very young, but I also am at that age where I'm like, yeah, be kind to it now, because, you know, you want to still, I'd still like to, I'd love to be one of those 70-year-old women who's still, like, just kicking ass, because she was kind to herself as much as possible, so.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, I had a really tough year, and I was kind of stress eating a lot. I stress bake.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And so I was eating a lot, and I was in a relationship that was kind of coming to its tail end,
mm-hmm.
but I joined a gym at the new year because there was a deal, like no fee joining for a month.
And
so I did, and like maybe 2 or 3 days later into the new year, my now ex was complaining of all the New Year's resolutioners at the gym. Ugh, they just take up his machines and his parking spots, and he has to go earlier now, and blah, blah, blah. And I got in a big fight with him about that, because it was like, you know what? At least, even if people are just doing it at the New Year, and it's a popular time to make a resolution, who are you to say, like, all of them are not going to pass?
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people that year, and I think that year it dipped a little. Like, I didn't stick with it at first. Like, I did for a couple weeks in January, and then I didn't. And then I was casting a show where I had to take my shirt off on stage. So I went back to the gym. so that is the year I ended up joining a gym and staying with it. But there was a little bit of a lapse there. But, you know, F you for judging.
Well, not only that, but who cares if they only go for a week? The gym doesn't belong to you, buddy. They're
right?
paying their
that's
paying
the
their fees.
Wanna...
I love that idea that it's like, there's so many more drivers on the road, and now I have to do it. It's like, it doesn't belong to you. I can understand being kind of like, jokingly, like, oh man, New Year's, I definitely got to change up my game, because I can't just hop on the machines I used to, especially because through December, people are less likely to go to the gym just because they don't have time, because there's so much to do with the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and New Year's, and, you know, even if you don't celebrate anything, even if you, you know, don't have a holiday that you celebrate, it's still a stressful time of year because there's so much end of year stuff.
And then there's so much time off.
Exactly. Or,
I mean, I know my students, I have a lot of students who are Muslim, and, you know, talking to them, what are you doing over break? They were like, sitting around a lot.
Yeah.
But when you sit around, you eat.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely. What we do. So, yeah, so, like, that's the thing, too, is it's, you know, people, I just wish... You know, it's like, again, if you only go for a week, but for that week you feel really good, great. Or if you only go once a week or you only go 2 times a month, it's like, congratulations, you know, and it, good for you. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you can. But, yeah, I can understand why that would have, that kind of contempt for people always makes me sad. I'm like, why be a jerk about it?
Why be negative?
Yeah, exactly.
I actually might join a gym sometime this week, just because it's gross out.
Yeah.
And when I was home for the holidays, I went 5 days without riding my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I did when I got home was take my bike out for a spin.
Yeah.
And I have recently wiped out on my bike. My left side still has a bruise from like 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
I just hit some ice and went right down.
Yeah.
But, which is why I wear a helmet. Don't you fret, parents, if you're listening to this.
Yes, he does.
Hopefully
I've seen
not,
because
I've said the word cunt, so has turned off the podcast by now if she was listening. But, I think it's not wise to, on my tiny little racing tires, hop out on my bike, and so maybe you just do some spinning through the rest of the winter. And,
absolutely.
Because I started to go crazy that I wasn't exercising.
Yeah, and the thing is that that's the other thing, too, is that living in New York, even just the fact that in the spring, summer, fall, pretty much every time other than the really shitty weather, I will walk, like, a place is only a mile away, I'll just walk, whereas now that I'm, you know, because at work, I even had, like, I get off at the A, which is on 8th Avenue, and I walk over and down 6th Avenue, you know, I have a bit of a walk over to 6th, not a lot, but it's nice. Now that this weather is happening, I do the transfer at J Street Metrotech to the F, so I only have literally four short blocks to walk.
Yeah, I got off here at a train station. It's a bit of a walk from you.
From the G. Mm-hmm.
I got off the G, and it was pretty much like ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
Which was funny, because I had coffee in one hand and donuts
in the other.
My resolution to lose weight.
Oh,
dude. I didn't make that one.
I don't make that one either.
But, I resolved to eat more dough donuts because if you have never been to Dough Donuts in Brooklyn, you can get them at the Flea.
Or their actual...
Lots of different coffee shops.
Yes,
so you don't
wonderful.
Have to be in Bed-Stuy.
No.
But they are amazing. And I like that cupcakes were trendy for so long. And now cupcakes in New York are kind of playing second fiddle to donuts.
Exactly.
Donuts are and cronuts and whatnot.
Oh gosh, the cronut, unnecessary, but donuts are perfectly adequate. So.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Donuts is perfectly,
perfectly adequate. That's the campaign. Dunkin' Donuts. You can have it. It's all yours. Donuts are perfectly adequate. You're welcome.
I think great things are going to come of that advertising campaign. Get rid of America Runs on Dunkin'. Take up Donuts Are Perfectly
Adequate. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. So.
I did reach out to our buddy there over on the left coast. Johan.
Hi, Johan.
Who said, in Johan cynicism, if resolutions are so important, why do people wait until the beginning of the year to make them? Which... we've discussed, we try to make them on ordinary days.
Yeah.
Our friend Amy said that she only sticks to her non-New Year's resolutions.
Exactly.
Does anyone keep the New Year's one? Like, you just suddenly, it's like you're pressured, you have to make a resolution today. Whereas other resolutions, you're like, I'm at a place, I'm not feeling good about this, I want to do more of this.
The thing is that people... The other thing, and this is why I was making the joke about New Year's Eve and how cold it is and everything... People make resolutions in the hardest months of the January and February in this, well, I shouldn't say they make it in the, you know, because it's different depending on where you are. You know, because for some people, January and February are not cold and snowy, so I shall take out that. But for those of us who live in places where January, February, March are winter months and hard, and really bleak and everything like that. I don't know why you're looking at me as you're writing, and it's cracking me up.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just listening.
But think about it. It's like you're. I want to exercise more. I want to eat better. I want to not hit the snooze button. I want to blah, blah, blah. And it's literally happening in some of the most depressing months of the year where we are and, where a lot of people are. And I just, like, make your resolutions at beautiful times of the year. Like, if it's sunny and gorgeous where you are right now, rock on, make your resolution. If it's not sunny and gorgeous where you are until April, May, June, try that. Be like, I'm going to go outside and go for walks more because that's my resolution. Start that one in May. Because, man, it's a lot easier to do it when there's light after work and it's beautiful and breezy and not covered. And everything's covered in snow and ice.
Easy, breezy, beautiful, covered in snow and ice.
Exactly. Man, we are just like bringing the jingles, as it were. Mm-hmm.
We are. Now, question for you, Beth. Are you a need to cheers and drink champagne at midnight, or are you a you need to kiss someone at midnight, which is...
Champagne. My PSM and I were talking about it, and we were saying, she was talking about the fact that, like, she never has the, I want to kiss someone at midnight thing, because she's like, then if you don't, you literally start the year off with the disappointment of, oh, I didn't even get to kiss anybody, and, you know, even if you're with friends, even if you're having a wonderful time and everybody is just kicking it and having a great time, if you don't make the resolution, if you don't make the, I hope I kiss someone, and it happens, then it's great.
Huzzah!
Great, you kiss someone, that's super fun. And if you don't, you still went out and had a wonderful time with your friends, and drank some champagne, and saw a guy pull a tooth out of his mouth, just like bloody tooth out of his mouth, awesome, and had dollar slices of pizza.
Next year you should just go see a hockey game and make this all, you know.
Man, just watch dudes beat the shit out of each other on ice. Woo! Oh, you just got like a little turned on, didn't you?
I did.
You just got a little turned on.
I'm a little excited for the Olympics.
All right, same question.
Champagne or kiss someone?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to kiss someone, even if it's just a friend.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a little bit of a make-out slut, so...
I'll kiss anyone.
Yeah. As long as they're not, like, spitting bloody teeth out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Foaming at the mouth or, like, covered in herpes sores, I will. I don't mind kissing someone. And I think it's a nice way to just be like, oh, we're in the same place. Plus, if I've started drinking... Like, this year, I was done drinking by 10 o'clock as I had moved to seltzer because I was like, well... I have one day to recover, and then I have to go back to work. So, yeah,
exactly.
I just don't want to be a hot mess tomorrow.
Plus, I was in that weird position where I'm seeing someone right now, and he's not local. And I was like, I'm not in the mood to go out hunting for someone to kiss because I'd have to drive a couple of hours to kiss the person I would like to kiss. So I was just like, champagne. Champagne it is. So, you know, it's just one of those weird... It's that weird thing.
I think the best, though, is when you... Like, maybe 3, 2, 1 on the countdown, you take a swig of champagne so that when you're kissing someone, you can spit it into their mouth and get the best of both worlds.
That sounds like a recipe for syphilis.
Hey.
Disgusting.
A recipe for syphilis. One part champagne.
7 parts saliva.
I feel like... You should go back to health class because I don't think you can get syphilis from someone's champagne-y saliva.
Well, that's not what the nuns taught me. So
the nuns gave you some interesting scenarios.
Listen, I don't hold hands with a boy while we're having sex because that way I won't get pregnant.
Ah, she will not fall in love, that nun.
No.
Not that. The long-haired, average grade nun. She will. She will not get syphilis.
She will not get syphilis. So I had an interesting request from a friend of mine who is having trouble sleeping.
Oh.
And he requested that we sing him a lullaby.
Ooh.
Now, you have a lovely voice.
You do.
You have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
And I have a nice voice. I won't call it lovely, but I do have a nice voice. And he requested... Hey, hold on. He requested Hush, Little Baby, which is probably one of the most famous. I think it may be the most famous, other than maybe Lullaby. You know, Lullaby and Goodnight, blah, 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 blah.
That has words?
Yeah.
I always just thought it was da na 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 na.
It's Brahms, isn't it? It's Brahms' Lullaby.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Brahms' Lullaby. But anyway, yes, it has words. So, we had a request, and I think it's so sweet and so random. We had a request for a lullaby. Oh. So, and I pulled up the words because why not?
I directed a play one year. I had a kind of bitchy student who I knew if she didn't get the lead, it was going to be a problem. So I picked an ensemble piece where it was all poetry and folk songs. And to me, one of the sweetest lullabies now is... it was sung by a student, Rachel Mutil, mm-hmm. who's halfway through school studying musical theater in mm-hmm. Buffalo.
Wonderful.
Gorgeous voice, this girl.
Yay, Rachel.
And she didn't like the song, but she sang By and By. By and By, By and By. And anyway,
yeah.
it's a very sweet tune, and she sang it, and I think of that, and that's what I used to sing Betsy, my niece, when I was babysitting her at mm-hmm. bedtime. I'd bounce up and down and sing that. So that's my go-to lullaby, actually.
Yeah. I have a... My nephew is 2.5, and he loves singing. He loves to be sung to. He loves to sing. They have a piano in the house now, and he loves to go. And he actually will sing along as he plays the piano. We, of course, all think he's a genius.
Well, sure.
But he just loves to sing. And my dad, his grandfather... has one of the most beautiful voices. My dad has a really, really, really beautiful baritone. So we all kind of just sit, whenever dad's around, we're just like, you know, you sing to Elliot.
You sing to Elliot. My other lullaby go-to is also, I love the Diana Krall version of, it's on her Christmas album, mm-hmm. Because it's from White Christmas, even though I don't think it's necessarily a Christmas song, but
right.
When you're weary and you can't sleep. I worked on
your blessings instead of sheep.
I worked on that show. It was the same year. It was my year of lullabies. Sleep,
counting your blessings. Sorry, I love that song.
And Melanie Dewey sang that mm-hmm. in White Christmas at Fayetteville Manlius. And so did Ellie Paparone. The part mm-hmm. was double cast. And all three of those former students just have these sweet lullaby voices. So if your friend, what's your friend's name?
Neil.
If Neil really needs trouble, or has trouble sleeping, needs trouble. I keep falling asleep. Damn it! I'm narcoleptic.
I need trouble.
I need trouble sleeping. I want to.
Well, now I've got Taylor Swift caught in my head. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Is that the one that people splice with goats?
I love that. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
Taylor Swift. T-Swift and I are okay.
I went to the Apple Store recently, and this uh-huh. guy was emphatic about how much he loved Taylor Swift. She's so smart, and she's made no mistakes, and she stays out of the tabloids. I'm like, she's in every fucking tabloid all the time. But not, like, I think he was trying to say, like, she's not a hot mess, like, you don't see her on drugs, or
yeah.
she's not like Miley.
She's not like Miley.
Or Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
I actually think Miley knows what she's doing.
I think Miley is very much in control of this whole image.
At least right now.
Reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But anyway, I was just like, this guy is the world's biggest Taylor Swift fan.
Mm-hmm.
He is a 40-something-year-old overweight man at the Apple Store in Soho.
Yeah.
And he is Taylor Swift's number one fan.
I like it. Well, Taylor Swift, and I think Taylor Swift would appreciate that. She seems to like her fans, which I really approve of. I'm a fan of.
I like that, too.
So, Neil...
According to Wikipedia, there are several versions of the song,
uh-huh.
but the most common lyrics are as follows. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird won't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. You know what's funny is this song is not that pretty to sing.
No.
Like, there's no... Like, you don't... Like, there's no place to
yep.
slip vibrato in there.
Right.
There's no place to, like... It's not very lyrical. It's
no.
very, like, plotty. It's da da da
yeah.
da 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 da. It's really not pretty.
Which in some ways might be why it's actually a good to put you to sleep song, because it's repetitive, because mm-hmm. it's got that repetitive plottiness, which is actually what makes it, because it's just that your brain...
Works as a lower.
Exactly.
And it's also accessible to people who, like, the... I think it's funny that our national anthem is so hard to sing.
Oh, why do we have... I mean, I'm sorry. I actually don't think the national anthem should be hard to sing. I think it should be beautiful. That's why I've always been sad it wasn't America the Beautiful.
Or it's a gift to be simple.
Just because... I mean, come on. For amber waves of grain. Like, who is... What is more beautiful than a song about how beautiful this country is? Like,
songs about blood and cannon fire are better.
Oh, my God. Like, it is
so
ridiculous.
I love the French national anthem, actually, with the, like, the blood of our revolutionaries will water our crops and we will grow stronger.
Oh, and I remember that... I can't remember what the words are. I can remember the words, but I only know them in Russian. The Союз не вовши, не республик, сплобом, эксплатила на веки.
Roughly translate that, because most people
don't. I don't know what that is roughly translated. Y'all have to look it up. Homework! You have to look it up. That was the Russian national anthem, by the way. So, and there's also, you know, O Canada. Oh, Canada.
We're talking about bloody national
home and native land.
The Canadians are not known as a bloody people.
Love.
They're not bloody enough. Although, the Canadians do play a lot of hockey.
Right?
And so bloody teeth, that should be part of their national anthem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, bloody mouth. I will spit teeth at you. That would be nice.
That's perfect.
So I hope that's helped put you to sleep, Neil.
Yes.
I'm sure that will. The song gets fucking weird after that.
Yeah, but here, I'll sing you the last few verses, Neil, just so we'll start with...
And if that diamond ring turns to brass, Mama's gonna buy you a looking glass.
Uh-huh. And if that looking glass gets broke, Mama's gonna buy you a billy goat.
Because if you can't take care of an object that's glass, I'm gonna give you something that's living.
Mama's gonna buy you a cart and bowl.
A cart and bowl.
What
the fuck do you do with a cart and bowl?
Mama's gonna buy you a dog named Rover.
Mama doesn't learn.
If that dog named Rover won't bark.
No, who wants a dog?
Mama's gonna buy you a horse and cart.
Who wants a dog that barks too much?
And if that horse and cart fall down,
Mama's gonna make him into glue for you. And if that glue is not sticky, Mama's gonna turn it to the factory. And if that factory sends her away, Mama's gonna throw a big parade. And if that parade doesn't have enough glitter, Mama's gonna get you a babysitter. And if that babysitter shakes the baby, Mama's gonna something that rhymes with baby. I don't know.
Probably something to do with prosecuting her.
Mama's gonna prosecute her and get a big settlement. And if that big settlement isn't cashed in, Mama's not gonna know what special school and hospital to send you to because you've got brain damage. And if that brain damage really stunts your growth, Mama's gonna turn you into a professional midget. And if that professional midget circus doesn't pan out, Mama's gonna... I'm out of ideas.
You're out of. But the last line, Neil, which I think is quite appropriate because you are such a lovely person, is, and if that horse and cart fall down, you'll still be the sweetest little baby in town. I hope you fall asleep soon.
Note, Mama is sometimes substituted by Papa, Dada, etc., according to the singer's relation to the child or personal preference. There are simple revisions to the lyrics, but all remain true to the promise of rewards for shutting the fuck up.
You know what? That was a little bit of a liberal take on it. But I will say that one of my favorite revisions, that even though this is the most common one, because it's really, really bold statement, is, and if that billy goat runs away, it's like whatever animal is the very last one, Mama's gonna buy you another day. Like, Mama can buy time? Mama is amazing. Fuck yeah, I want someone who can buy me time. Rock on, Mama.
I want, like, the poor person's version of this. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. What's a baby gonna do with a diamond ring?
Well,
choke on it.
No, Kim Kardashian, she had that Instagram picture of what an amazing year with her very pretty little baby, North.
Little Westy.
Northwest, beautiful little baby, holding the biggest fucking diamond ring. I mean, in that baby's hand, it looked ridiculous, like, whatever. But, yes, that baby is not going to choke on it because it can't. It's literally too big to choke on.
I would like to congratulate us. Our first podcast of 2013, we discussed the Pope a lot.
Yes.
And the Pope was named the Person of the Year by, what is it, People Magazine?
Time
Magazine.
It's Time. And the Advocate also put him on their cover.
Yeah, people are... We're all about the new Pope. Yep. So 2013 was the year of the Pope.
We made that happen.
And 2013 ended with Beyonce, our other big...
releasing an album out of the blue.
Secret album.
I know.
Out of the Blue Ivy.
Ha, ha, ha. Well done. High five for that.
So this year, we should make our predictions who the two of the most influential people will be.
I'm going to say that we really need to keep our eye on the president of Uruguay.
I agree. And also, I think we're ready for Macy Gray to come back into
Gray,
the cultural
zeitgeist.
Macy Gray,
you heard it here. You heard it here. Macy
president
Gray.
President of Uruguay. It's funny that you went political. I was thinking Chelsea Clinton first, not Hillary.
Chelsea Clinton, I could see that. I could see her actually... deciding that this is the year she and her husband want to have a baby, and it's going to be a big brouhaha because Hillary, the whole thing too, is whether or not her mama is going to run for president in 2016.
It's also whether she's going to run the New York City Marathon.
Exactly.
I'd like to see that.
Hillary Clinton run the New York City Marathon?
I would.
I think that would probably be a bad idea for her health-wise, but I still would be.
Do they still live in New York? Where do they live?
Who knows?
I mean, I know they moved here when she wanted to be a...
When she was a senator.
They actually live on the moon!
They live on the moon!
It's amazing.
So, anyway, all right. Well, thanks so much for being with us for our first podcast of 2014.
And if that horse and car turns over, mama's gonna buy you the moon rover. And if that moon rover don't moon roam the moon, mama's gonna buy you a silver spoon. And if that silver spoon seems ridiculous, because who eats off of silver when you're a baby? Mama's gonna buy you some Chiclets, maybe. And if you don't have teeth to chew gum, Mama's gonna buy you something that rhymes with gum. I'm really bad at coming up with rhymes on the spot.
But you're
sorry.
Really good at being awesome.
Oh,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, listeners.
I'm Beth.
I'm Scott.
We love you. Have a wonderful 2014.
Woohoo!